Sukim Ches through Yudbeis, where Naomi was trying to convince Shtei Chaloseha, her two daughters-in-law, to go home, go back to your mommy. You did such chesed for me. Hashem should find you good shidduchim. Tisena kolon vatzivkenu. Halacha is that when talking to potential gerim, you're supposed to try to dissuade them. You're supposed to try to talk them out of it. Three times. So therefore, in Pasuk Chest, she tells them, Shovna, go back. And in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Shovna, go back. And in Pasuk Yud Beis, Shovna, go back. But both girls hung in, dedicated to their shviger, to their mother-in-law. The Midrash says they were barefoot. They were poverty-stricken. It was very difficult. They had to break from the culture they grew up in, daughters of Eglon Melech Moav, their upbringing. And here we see a Mesiras Nefesh. Both of them displayed a Mesiras Nefesh to go with their mother-in-law. A Mida that we know is needed for Malchus. But Naomi had to figure out, was their initial Geiris sincere, or was it done out of a dedication to her? Or perhaps out of awe for their late husbands, who we said before were tremendous people, rich people, bright people. It could be they're both tzaddikuses, and she saw the qualities, but there may have been a psul in the original Geirus. So first she said to them, look, I'm not going to be able to get you remarried. I'm not going to have my own children. Even if I get married today, I'm not going to have my own children. You can't wait that long. You can't have that menucha that every girl wants to be married, as the Gemara says in Kiddushin. Tav lemeitav, tandum lemeitav anu. Every girl would rather be married to a bum than not to be married at all. So they cried and cried and cried. She was rejecting them. Don't come with me. I have no way to give you a husband. And furthermore, she may have even said to them, Eishes chover kechover, you know, the life of the Talmud Chacham has a lot of the things that the Talmud Chacham has. She may have known that Elimelech, who had this mission to go out into Moab to find these girls, understood that he could convert two Moabite women to marry his son. Elimelech may have divulged to her the Mesorah that he had, because he was a Baal Mesorah. He had told her, well, the plan is to go and make the Shidduchim. His wife is going to be against him. I don't want my son's killing the daughter to marry Shixes. No, don't worry. They'll convert. What do you mean convert? The Torah says you can't accept a Moabite convert. Yes, but we have a Mesorah. Moaviv lo Moavis. It was only the Moabite men who were supposed to bring Lechem V'mayim to Klal Yisrael. The girls were supposed to be at home, Kokudas Melchima. It was never understood that they were supposed to come out and deliver goods to the people. So a Moabitess can't convert. That was a Mesorah that Elimelech had. But we'll see later, it was a big debate. There were those who tried to prevent David HaMelech to help Shaul in the battle against Goliath. They didn't want him to get his reward to marry Shaul's older daughter. The Dag HaAdomi said, what are you talking about? You can't marry Moabis. Until it was a whole debate. The Kavah Homer's this way, that way. That was Ogemar Nivamis. So finally, somebody's got a sword and said, we have a Mesorah. Moavi will Moabis. And anybody who doesn't listen to me, I'll kill them. So you don't believe in Mesorah. So she said to them, I can't guarantee you a shidduch. No one's going to listen to me. It was difficult for Boaz to convince people. As we'll see later. He had the gather minions, make sure everybody understood he's the Kodol Hador, and he also had such a Masora. They should accept it, allow him to marry Rus. But she said, no one's going to listen to me. How are you going to get married if I can't bear a child for you? Who else is going to allow their children to marry you? It's a good time. And then, in Pasuk Gimel, she throws in the kicker. She throws in the final blow. This one is ugly. Pasuk Gimel. Halachin tishat tisaberna, will you be broken? Adashigogu, till my children grow up? Halachin tiyogena, are you going to be an aguna? Will you say, is not going to be married? Albinos, I don't do that, my children. He mildly ma'od me can. He ought to be Dvar Hashem. A bad thing has happened to me from Hashem. Now these words, he mildly ma'od me can. Who's me can referring to? Says Rav Moshe David Vali, the girls. Mildly ma'od, I am very bitter, me can, from you. Girls, they're Kodios. What did they do? Because you killed my sons. It was your fault. They married you. They stayed in Moab. They died. Every time I see you, I'm upset. You remind me of my loss. Says Moshe David Vali, she even felt, I'm bitter, I'm so bitter. It's your fault. They wanted to marry you and then stay with you. And all at once, it hit these two girls like a ton of bricks. They realized how she felt towards them. To say things like, you'll never get married, but she still shows she cares about them. Now she's saying, you are terrible in my eyes. You hurt me. Every time I view you, every time I see you, I'm in pain, I'm bitter. They no longer felt that they had her unconditional support as a mother-in-law. All the sacrifice they did for her, all their noble intentions to stay with her. And now, Naomi just threw everything into their face. How do you expect Rus and Orpah to react? They got no recognition for what they were most nefesh for. They just got accusations. They just got bitterness. They no longer have Naomi's approval or the appreciation of their dedication to her. So why should they stay with her? They're being blamed as the cause of her predicament. She practically hates them. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. For Orpah, they, plural, raised their voices. Atifkena owed, they cried more. Orpah folded. Atishak, Orpah lachamosa, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. Despite being insulted like that. And then she left. Rus Dovkova. Rus stuck with her. The word Vatisena over here is without an aleph. How did it have it before? How did it have it before? Above in Pasuk Tes, Vatisena, colon, Vatikana. They raised their voices and they cried. But here, Pasuk Yudalid, Vatisena without the Aleph. What does it mean? Zokt the Medrash. She was Toshash Kochon. Like Rish Lakish. Torah Mateshes Kochoshel Adam. Her cry was weak. She had been taken down. She caved in. She was dedicated to her mother-in-law. And for that, she would have remained Jewish. For the sake of her mother, she would have done it. But without her approval, she wasn't interested. If you say that looking at me makes you sick, I can't be here anymore. So Arpa left, and the Medrash says, Vatishak Arpa, the word Arpa is like the word Oref. Oref is a neck. She turned so her neck was towards her mother-in-law, and she never turned back. Tishak Arpa L'chamos. Says the Gemara in Sota on Daf Mem Beis, on Beis, Naomi, the son, his name was Goliath. The giant Goliath was Naomi, was Arpa's son. Arpa had a son. His name was Goliath, the one who later faced David. But Goliath did not know who his father was, says the Gemara. Because the night that Arpa left Naomi and Rus, says the Gemara, Arpa lived with 100 men that night. Tosis adds 100 Plishtim and 1 Kelev, which is why David, in the battle against Goliath, look over there, David calls him the son of a dog. Might even call a dog. She had no idea. She made herself totally hefker the night she left Naomi. Asks of Chaim Shmulevitz, this is wild. Until now, you look back in the Psukim, Betilachnu Shneim, they went together. Rus and Naomi were equal. Rus and Arpa were equal. Naomi couldn't tell the difference in the two girls. She didn't know which one is the special neshama. They're both tzidkonios. And all of a sudden, she leaves her mother-in-law, and one night, she reaches utter depravity. Such a fall. How is it possible? The Chaim Shmulevitz says, we understand how it's possible. Bilam was just as great a Navi as Moshe. But you get to choose if you're on the side of the light or on the side of the dark. You're the side of good, you're the side of evil. Rambam tells us that before we're born, we're genetically programmed, how tall we're going to be, how fast we're going to be. But whether you're going to be a Tzaddik or a Rasha, it's up to you. Tov hara is not decided before you're born. We know from the Rambam, my favorite Rambam in the Perek Vav of Hilchos Deis, when a person's in the right environment, they're going to be great. When Arpa was around Naomi, she was a tzaddikus. But as soon as she returned to her old environment, the great potential that she had was unleashed l'ra. Dylan and Moshe had the same potential, one way, one with the other. Rus and Arpa had the same great potential. Rus went one way and Arpa went the other. How could she go all the way from here to here? That's the way it is. The same person, the same potential. But as soon as she came back to her environment in Moab, her potential was unleashed. She sinned terribly. When you fail your nisayon in life, there's no limit to how far you could fall. Another way to understand, very similar to Chaim Shmulevitz, it may not have been her new environment that enables her to change. It could be even more subtle. The decision that she made to change caused the downward spiral. Even before she came home, she was already on her way down. The decision, Arpa, the turning of the neck, I turned. It's amazing. Something exists, though perhaps for a different reason, by the Meraglim. Meraglim were tzaddikim. when did they change their mind? Some of the Farshim say, the second they turned their back on Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't see the Rebbe, it's over. So it's not the decision, it's not the new environment, it's the lack of the old environment. The person sees the Rebbe, they're different. Maybe somebody knows. You see the Rebbe with the eyes. To have the shiur over the phone is not the same. I used to tell my talmid, not when I was teaching the highest shiur, a year or two after that, that my goal is that when you leave yeshiva, there will be a little Rebbe Mendelsohn on your shoulder. When you think you're doing something wrong, I'll be yelling in your ear. So I had one boy, Tzachi. He said, I'm just going to turn the other way. So I said, there's another Rabbi Mendelsohn on the other shoulder too. He said, in stereo. He actually became a Rebbe. I saw him this past summer. He was working as a Rebbe in a summer camp, and I saw him by the water somewhere with the home. And he said, do you recognize me? I said, I don't recognize you. He said, I'm Tzachi. I'm not going to say the last name. Maybe one of you had him as a Rebbe. Who knows? Who knows? You have to see the Rebbe. I have to see the Rebbe. Maybe I should have him in front of me, not behind me. To see the Rebbe. It makes a big difference. I have it on my phone. The Rebbe on the phone. It makes a big difference. Give me 1 minute, please. I have to remember who said that pshat in the Meraglim. Maybe the Maharal. I have to double check. I didn't think of that one before. I just thought of that one now. The first two I had, the environment, which Rav Chaim Shalevitz says, and the deciding, the decision. But not seeing already makes a difference. Wow. Wow. I have to look it up. Like, Maraglan. I think it was the Maharal. The Gemara has a drasha for the schar. How much time do I have? I've got a little time left here. I have That's 11:35. I have plenty of time. Good. I have to share this with you. Chazal say, in the name of Rava, Dorash Rava, in the schar of the four tears, arba demaos, shecholida arpa al chamosa, that arpa cried on leaving her mother-in-law, zochsa the yatsumi menu dalit gibor. She didn't have just one giant Goliath, she had four. And she had four giants in the schus of the four tears that she shed on the parting arpa. Look at these four tears. T-E-A-R-S. Four years. It says in the pasuk twice, Batid Kemah. At the end of the pasuk test, Batid Kemah. They raised their voices and they cried. And then, Batisena colon, Batid Kemah owed. Says Rashi on that Medrash, I guess the Gemara, I don't have written here where that Gemara is. Says Rashi, she cried twice, one tear drop from each eye. So four drops, and for 4 tears, she had four giants. Their names were Soph, Madon, Goliath, and Gishbi. And Gishpi also had six fingers, which of course brings it back to the Princess Bride, but we're not going to go there. Sof, Madon, Golias, and Yishpi. I know you're laughing, Noam. The problem is, see, if I only know like three movies, like everything ends up relating to the same three movies. What am I supposed to do? It's Princess Bride. To actually watch with Rabbi Cohen sitting right next to me in a bus, coming back from the Holocaust Museum when I was teaching a part-time shiur in the 11th grade. Yeah, he felt like he was learning, and he fell asleep, so I watched it. I had read the book already. Was it everyone wants to know about True Love? True Love. And there's a song word in this.
Maximum Volume.
Rebbe.
Not too many. Rebbe. David eventually killed all four of his cousins. All four of his children David actually killed.
Rebbe.
This is quoting his family that Oliver walked with the army 40 steps. And for those 40 steps, Goliath was matzliach and scaring and intimidating Klal Yisrael for how many days? Can't hear me? Oh no.
I can hear you, Rabbi.
Back. Oh, okay.
Can Rabbi say what were the four giants' names again?
Theos. 40 steps. Oh, repeat the four names? Yeah, if you want the four names. Sof, Madon, Goliath, and Yishpi. Says the Yushali, Tosis quotes. But this is all in Sota. It's all in Sota Membez. Says Tosis that the 40 steps, Goliath was Matzliach, and then 2 daily class for 40 days until David HaMelech showed up. You see from here a tremendous thing, Rabosai. How could you ignore this point? You see how Hashem rewards for every drop, every tear, every step. Now, you might ask me, what kind of reward is this? For Rishonim, 40 days intimidating Klal Yisrael. The answer of Rasha V'Tovlo. Once she became a Rasha, this was a reward. In this world, she was rewarded with her true dedication in Olam Hazeh way. Remember the Gemara in Gittin that tells us how Unklus wanted to convert. And before he converted, using witchcraft, he spoke to various people for advice. And one of the people he asked was Titus. Titus destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. He asked Titus, should I convert? Should I become a Jew? Gemara in Gittin and Daphne and Zion. And Titus said, no. The Pasuk says in Eicha, which is a big lamdin once he's dead, Pasuk says in Eicha, those who bother Klal Yisrael will become leaders. They're going to be the headliners of all the major newspapers, CNN and Fox News. Don't become Jewish. Start up with the Jews. Fight with them. Give them trouble. You'll be world famous because Hashem would never let a little nation bother his Jews. That would also be like a Chil Hashem. Oh, that little island kingdom of 15 people started up with my Jews. No, the biggest nations in the world start off with the Jews. So, you know, eventually you'll get killed for it, probably, but at least for a long time you'll be a big macher in the world. Hayitzarel Rosh. Rosh of the Tovlo. Hashem says, I want a reward for the good things that were done in this world by Russia. I want to reward that in this world. And in this world, the reward is to have four giants, to have your son intimidated all of Klal Yisrael for 40 days. Wow. She must have been so proud of them. That was Orpah. Rus was very different. I'll share with you a story that I don't have enough time to share. Story that I heard many years ago that I've titled Yankel from Scranton. there's been some dispute about the story. I actually redid the research into the story, and the story did not happen exactly the way I'm going to tell it to you. Nevertheless, the way I originally heard the story from Rav Chaim Bressler, one of the two Rashivas in Scranton, and said it over in a shmooze, mamish, the year after I heard it, which I recorded, so I had all the details. But later in the years, I said it over, and somebody thought there was something wrong about it. I did more research, and I found out the story didn't happen exactly the way that I had heard it. In fact, Rabbi Bressler couldn't remember that he ever told the story. But first, I'll tell you the way I originally heard it, and then I'll tell you my conclusion after doing more research to the story. Unfortunately, we don't have enough time. So all I'm going to say is that the story is the story of Yankel from Scranton, a young boy who learned in the Scranton Yeshiva in Pennsylvania. Came as a ninth grader from an irreligious home. Somebody, a Rebbe, an NCSY, something, sent him to Yeshiva, convinced his mother and his father passed away to come to Yeshiva. And he excelled. Ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, he did very, very, very well. By the time he was in the third or fourth year, they said he was the top, top boy in the Yeshiva. Top, top boy in the Yeshiva. One Friday afternoon, he was sitting and learning the Beis Medrash, sitting in the Divrei Torah for Shabbos in the Yeshiva. And the Rashi Rabbi Bressler got a phone call from his mother. We'll pick it up next time, Rabbi Osei.